Okay, well, we, you know, took the weekend, gave the players the weekend off, and, you know, we're back at it now on Miami. An impressive win they had yesterday over the Jets. You know, that's a sweep on them, so that's pretty good. For Miami, you know, we had a couple tough games with them last year. Certainly well aware of all the skilled players that they have and the toughness that they have in the running game on both sides of the ball, and good job that they do down there coaching. So, you know, we'll try to pull things together here after the Jet game, add that to all the other information we had from earlier in the week, and you know, get to work on these guys, get back on the field tomorrow, and try to get an extra day, a little extra jump on them, which I'm sure we'll be able to use. Good football team, good on defense, tough, run the ball well, big plays in the kicking game. You know, a team that we obviously didn't do very well against up here last year, so hopefully we can be a little more competitive this time around.
Bill, I had a question. Last year I remember you talking about the Wildcat and talking about the percentage of time they used it and then making a decision on your practice schedule. You know, how, do we want to devote that percentage of time to practicing against that? If you recall that, can you just sort of spin it forward? How much are they using it this year, and how will that be part of your preparations this week?
Well, that's, you know, that's always a tough decision. This week it's the Wildcat. It's, you know, other aspects of teams' offensive or defensive packages. You kind of deal with that every week. And it varies from game to game. It's not always used in the same percentages. The better it's going, the more you're going to see it. For example, Indianapolis. And there's other times where they make you, you know, spend time defending it and don't use it all that much. So I think the most important thing is that we're sound on it and we're, you know, we're prepared for it. So if we get it, we at least know how to play the different things that come out of it. But they certainly do a lot of other offensive groups, formations and personnel groupings besides that. And we'll have to be ready for all those. So it's certainly a challenging aspect to the whole preparation process. You know, we want to be able to defend that, but at the same time, we don't want to commit so much time to it that don't do a good job on the other things they do as well. So hopefully we'll be able to use a little bit of the extra time this week to get those bases covered. But it's definitely a preparation problem they present.
And Bill, just following up on that, one of the top questions that I hear from fans, and I can't answer it, I'm curious if you could, when the quarterback split out wide, they'll say, why not just hit him? And I was curious if that happens, number one, and two, what would be, like, why that maybe doesn't happen, or what's the risk-reward give-and-take in taking that approach?
Well, it does happen at times. Sometimes they don't have a quarterback in the game. Sometimes they do. There have been teams that have gone out there and tried to, you know, on the snap of the ball, go, you know, attack the quarterback and hit him and all that. And, of course, the downside of it is that they put a player out there who really, you know, can't block, and he's eliminated one of your players because you've chosen to take him out of the play to go hit him. So, you know, you've sacrificed the player that you could actually gain into the play because he's, you know, the quarterback's not, you know, not really a threat to do much blocking. So you've given up a player that could help you on the other aspects of the play. So that's probably why most teams don't do a lot of that.
Bill, I saw yesterday that there were a lot, it seemed like a lot more, the quarterback wasn't on the field in those situations. Is that something that, I mean, I guess over the course of time they've taken it more where they're just taking the quarterback out of the game and running the Wildcat?
They do it both ways. Yep, they do it both ways. In fact, they do it, you know, sometimes the quarterback, whether it was Pennington or Henny, is in there and he's split out. Other times he's not in there at all. And then there are other times they bring in Pat White and he comes in at quarterback and they run some version of the Wildcat, or they could just run a regular offensive play with him in there at the quarterback. So, you know, as long as there's a quarterback on the field, you're not sure that they're going to be in the Wildcat. Once they take the quarterback off, you you kind of know that they're not going to be in their conventional offense, but they still use a lot of different formations because they now kind of have an extra player to formation with, and so you have to, you know, defend really an additional guy in the formation that you usually don't have to account for. So that's that, but they do all of the above, and that creates some preparation problems.
Bill, have they been roughly the same on offense with Henny in there as opposed to Pennington, or how'd you compare, I guess, their offense and what they can do when Henny is in there and as opposed to Pennington?
Yeah, I'd say their offense is basically the same. You know, Dan Henning, the coordinator, has used a couple different quarterbacks. Of course, they had other quarterbacks down there last year before they got Pennington at the start of the season. So they've kind of been consistent. They have a very broad offensive system. All different personnel groups, a lot of different formations. They change them a lot from game to game. There's a lot of things that we'll see in the game Sunday that we really can't prepare for because they haven't shown them yet exactly the way they're going to do them. It'll be something different and creative this week that'll be different from, you know, the other games that we've seen them play. So they kind of keep the wheels spinning that way, but I think Henny has been able to execute all the parts of the offense that Miami normally has: their play action game, their quick passing and spread game, their maximum protection passing game, all the screens and gadget plays and things like that. So I don't notice any big difference in the plays or the type of offense that they run. Of course, Pennington was a very experienced quarterback. He did a great job of pre-reading the defense and making good pre-snap decisions and also post-snap decisions. He went to the ball, went to the right place with the ball, you know, most of the time because of his great experience. And they might have used a few more audibles, check plays at the line of scrimmage. It's hard to tell, but wouldn't surprise me if that was the case because Chad was so good at those. But Henny does that too, and he's pretty effective at it. Certainly can throw the ball down the field. We saw that in the first Jet game on the pass to Ginn. They're a very good third down conversion team, both running and passing, and they're a very good play action team, which of course comes off their strong running game, where teams are really trying to defend that, and they're light on the play action passes. So all those elements pretty much are still in place.
Bill, in the Wildcat, there's often talk about this problem of an extra gap than you have on a normal running play. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, when the quarterback hands the ball off to a running back, then you know that player is basically eliminated from the running game. When you directly snap it to the running back, then you, instead of having a quarterback hand it off, you have another blocker or another receiver that somebody has to go out and cover, however you want to formation it. And so it creates another spot that somebody has to defend, whether it's a lineman or a pass coverage player or whoever it is. And so that you offensively gain a guy in this offense by not having somebody turn around and hand the ball off.
So obviously, Ginn's getting a lot of attention for what he did yesterday in that game on teams. Because of that, do you feel like you have to add any extra emphasis on that area of the game, or how do you kind of look at that?
Well, we definitely have a lot of emphasis on it, but you know, we've kind of had that all through the year. We've seen just about every week, you know, one good kickoff return unit and returner after another, starting back there with McKelvin and then Leon Washington, and you know, getting ready last week for Smith and Strotter at Tampa. You know, we've seen top returners every week, and this is another one. You know, Ginn's very, very fast. He has the ability really to take the ball any place on the field. Start on one side, go to the other, start up the middle, bounce it out, start outside, cut it back, and just outrun just about everybody that we have on our kickoff team. I don't know that we or any team in the league really has more than one or two, if that, people that could run with Ted Ginn. So leverage and tackling and discipline in our lanes and recognizing blocking schemes and doing a good job of tackling, you know, all that's going to be crucial against Miami this week, but again, we've seen a lot of that all year. You know, good return teams, good returners, and this is another in that list of challenges for us.
Bill, do you recall the first time you saw a Wildcat offense and your reaction to it?
Probably in the NFL, I'd say when Pittsburgh ran it with Cordell Stewart in, you know, the early 90s, 90, whatever it was, 93, 94, 95, whenever he came into the league, somewhere in there.
Did you think it would be successful? Did you have any kind of reaction after you saw it?
Well, you know, again, like everything else, it mostly has to do with the players, and any time you have a skilled player with the ball, you know, that's hard to defend. And, you know, we've seen those type of things in scrambling and running quarterbacks. Before that, you know, the Fran Tarkingtons and so forth, guys that, you know, ran around and made a lot of yards running the ball, not just passing it. But then when you look at a player like Cordell Stewart and many that came after him and that are in the league now, quarterbacks or running backs or wide receivers that can play those positions, that can run the ball and take the snap from center and all that, then, yeah, they add a little bit of a different dimension to what look like the same plays. And, you know, you have to be aware of what those guys can do, whether it's halfback passes or shotgun-type plays where the quarterback now is a running back. And as we talked about earlier, you have an extra guy you have to defend defensively.
So there was a lot of chatter back and forth between the Jets and the Dolphins last week. And I know Coach Sperano said after the game yesterday, you know, I'm not a big fan of it, and I don't want our players doing that. How do you address that type of thing with your team? And is that something that's taken care of before the season, or is that week to week that, you know, if you know something's going to come up, you tell them, listen, we can't get involved in this?
Well, I think from the start of the spring practices the off-season program and mini camps and the training camp and all that, you know, you guys bring up that kind of stuff a lot. So I think it's always there, and you know, things we have to deal, you know, our team deals with, every team deals with. And so, you know, I think it pretty much goes on all year round, some aspect of somebody did something or somebody said something or, you know, so however you want to, you know, phrase the question. But, yeah, each week there are different challenges you know, our team's trying to prepare to win a big division game against Miami, and their team's trying to prepare to go on the road and win a big division game against us. So, you know, that's a good competitive spirit. In the end, you know, the talking gets done on the field. During the 3 hours the game's being played, that's when the most important time to make your statement is, and that's what we'll try to do. We'll try to play well on Sunday afternoon. That's when it counts.
Is it your experience that can ever have an effect on players or the way that they prepare during the week or anything like that where if something gets said and maybe, I don't know, I mean, I guess it's simplifying a little bit to say it lights a fire under someone, but have you ever seen where that kind of thing can have an effect on a team or individual players?
Sure. I think there's sometimes where it can have an effect or, you know, cause a little bit of a reaction. But, you know, again, there are those. There's some element of that every week, in every game, however it's created or however it develops, whatever the line is, the storyline or the way the game actually unfolds, what happens during the game, plays happen or guys get pushed or they get hit or their fouls get called or whatever it is, and that's part of the emotional ebb and flow of any game, whether it's at the beginning or during the game or at the end or whenever it is. And again, that's something that I think a good team and a good football player, they don't overreact to that. I'm not saying there's not emotion involved in the game, because there definitely is, but you take that, you separate it, you do your job, and you know, you have your celebration at the end of the game, if things go well. So that's really what it's all about. It's, you know, minimizing those other distractions or things that are going on before, during, or different points in the game, and focus on your job and try to do it well. So that's what we'll try to do this week, starting with, you know, today, tomorrow, and all week through practice and during the game. I'm sure there'll be some plays during the game that, you know, will have some element of emotion to them, but ultimately we have to, you know, put those behind us, move on to the next play, and try to go out there and, you know, play well for 60 minutes, because we know that's what it's going to take.
Bill, there's been a lot of talk in the news.
Hey, William?
I know you're what?
William? We're running a little long here, and I need to make sure I keep a schedule, as Nick's waiting for him to be next. So, thank you, Coach.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow.